George, I had a point of information.
Yes, good.
I guess my question is, why should there be an asymmetric standard for creating meetings and uncreating meetings? That is to say, if it takes a simple majority to create, why not a simple majority to uncreate? I understand the objection about people not being notified, but that's the whole purpose of this motion, that it takes a simple majority at least, which is way more than a simple chair, to uncreate a meeting.
This is Lydia.
So what's the logic?
May I respond?
Yeah, Lydia, you respond.
Okay. So the response is because when you set a meeting, you have 365 days to set a meeting. The world is open to you. The world is an oyster. So it's a blank page. The entire committee can decide when it chooses to set a meeting. Once you set a meeting, you schedule your entire life around all of these meetings when you're in Pacifica. And so then that's like a static goal there, a goal post there, a block, right? It's not like you have any other choices. Try to change the meeting. In both of the instances that we've recently experienced, when those meetings have been rescheduled, in one, it didn't happen that month because there was nothing available that was acceptable to the other members of the committee. In the other one, we were able to have one a couple of weeks later. But that's the difference, is because you have very little wiggle room as opposed to at the beginning of the year when you kind of have your pick, and not entirely either, by the way, because you have to work around the PMB, but way more than once all the committees have scheduled their meetings on the calendar.
Okay.
And back to the stack.
Our fall for stack.
Okay, so who was the first person that spoke?
Ken,
and then our poll.
Okay, but the point is, a meeting essentially should be, it may be canceled because of an unforeseen event, like somebody has to attend a legal event, or something happened with the station, or possibly personal tragedies, or possibly acts of God, like snowstorms or something. We had a thing we had in New York where they couldn't transmit, people couldn't get around. So initially when you set the meetings, you have 365 days to postulate an intent to attend. But the notice of canceling, your foreknowledge of when you have to cancel, is a much shorter window. You can't see 365 days in the future which ones you're going to want to cancel. So I think it's just appropriate to leave it at a majority. If it becomes an issue, then you may have to elect another officer. As I'm saying, if we have issues like this where we're into such degrees of gamesmanship that it becomes a significant parliamentary block, like the way filibusters are, then we're going to have to address it in government. But I don't think this is an appropriate time to do that. I don't think it's that bad. I think these other meetings that were canceled were probably for valid reasons and not that great a consequence. I mean, we're doing so many meetings on so many committees. The absence of one or two committees can't be, if it's that critical, something's really wrong. You know, we meet once a month on, four or five committees, and one or two gets canceled, so on. That's my point. So I think Bill is absolutely right, John's absolutely right. So I continue to support Bill's amendment.
Okay, Carpool.
Yeah, well, there are two ways of looking at it, de jure and de facto. De facto, if a majority of a committee decides not to show up, there isn't a quorum, so it can't have a legal meeting. However, in terms of Robert's rules, if you're going to amend something previously adopted, it has to be by a two-thirds majority. This is the standard for everything. So if a committee has voted to meet on X date, really, if you were to make a motion in the committee, it really needs two-thirds to pass. Might be bothersome. There it is. It's in Robert's rules. So I don't know. So you have these two things working at once. I think I have to vote for it being two-thirds. But I also acknowledge that if the majority decides not to, boot the entire thing. Thank you for pushing the button.
Okay.
George Joseph Kay, I'd like to be noticed that I'm on a different phone and on the call.
And we can hear you all right. Okay, is there anyone else want to speak on this? Any objection to go to a vote on this amendment?
I would like to speak on it, if I may.
Yes, go ahead. Joseph, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm in favor of the simple majority. Instances where there's some sort of perception of risk somehow not having two-thirds ought to be able to be presented in a regular meeting as such and ask for a addressing of their concern in other ways rather than having to do a two-thirds vote to change something. That could be modified by a special adoption of something that reflects that particular concern that was not addressed in the original motion or the ruling. So, anyway, I'm in favor of the simple majority, period.
Okay.
John, into the queue.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, it seems to me that this is an instance, as Hart Paul really has pointed out, where Robert's rules do not serve us well, because, and as Ken's pointed out, sometimes you don't have the time. But the basic thing is, if others simply don't show up, then they block the meeting, but at the cost of irritating and annoying the people who do show up, because they're coming to the meeting under good faith, and then the other people don't show up and they wasted their time and it's food. So it seems to me, I'm told, that there's a thing in Robert's rules where you can pass a special rule for Robert's, for a particular organization. And I suggest that we consider this, and that our special rule for committee is that we adopt for the time to see how it works, the simple majority rule for canceling meetings. Somebody's meeting. And I don't read the Morse code anymore. But anyhow, so it seems to me that we should reconcile this, because otherwise we've got we're not following Roberts, and we ought to follow Roberts, and so we should modify Roberts to meet our needs.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak to this?
R. Paul.
Yeah, R. Paul.
Yeah, just to chime in here. I haven't checked it precisely in front of me, but I'm pretty sure that you can't. This is one of those fundamental things, and the argument for it requires several different citations of Roberts. I've done this, and I'm not prepared to do that right now. But basically, you really can't pass that kind of a special rule, because there are things you can't put aside, and that's just one of those fundamental things. Which means, by the way, what happens when we get into the argument? Let's say the amendment passes and it says majority. What happens when we get into an argument later on about how, well, really the amendment is out of order and therefore moot? Because you will get that argument.
Anyone else want to speak to this? Okay, hearing none, then, I'll take the roll.
This is Lydia. I just want to thank our Paul, because now I know what my note in the margin that said Robert's rule meant. Thank you. I had it in the margin of my motion. Thank you. That's it. I support it for the Robert's rules issue as well.
Okay, can I take the roll? So this is on Bill's amendment to make it a half rather than two-thirds.
Majority instead of yes, but it's not half.
Majority in terms of, yes, that's right.
Okay, yes. Yes on the amendment.
Okay. Sharam Argamir.
Yes.
Carolyn Burden.
Yes.
Lydia. Lydia.
No.
Okay. Bill.
Yes.
Sasha.
No.
Let's see, Kathy, are you here? No. Gail Dixon, are you here? Okay, Joseph K. Joseph K. Unmute yourself, Joseph. Bob Litterer.
No.
R. Paul Martin.
No.
Brenda Medina.
No.
Colleen O'Brien. George Ryder, I pass for the moment. John Winger.
Yes.
Is yes. I'm going to vote yes.
Of course you are.
Brenda, are you there? Brenda Medina?
She already voted.
Did she?
Yes. I voted no.
You voted no. Okay, sorry. I didn't note it. Joseph K., you voted yes. R. Paul, you voted no. Okay, so as I count...
Joseph,
Marcel is here.
He's muted. You said...
Hello?
Joseph K., you're muted.
Joseph spoke to it, but he didn't actually vote. Joseph, are you there now?
This is
Hello?
Joseph K.
Yes. How do you vote, Joseph? How do you vote, Joseph?
I vote yes.
Okay. Marcel, are you aware of what we're voting on, and do you want to vote?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
How do you vote?
No.
Okay. Okay, so...
7-6.
Which way?
7-4-6 against.
Okay. So the motion passes.
It does.
With respect to the...
This is the group that plays the games. Of course it does.
Thank you. This is Ken. I want to make a comment.
Order. Whoever said that, it's out of order to...
Maybe, but I'd love to tell you a story about what some of your darling leadership does in our meetings in Fresno, which take us an hour and a half to get to and an hour and a half back.
The next item, main motion as amended, which is to require that... meetings not be canceled without a majority. Do I need to read it over again? Lydia, would you read it over again?
Okay. Meeting dates which have been established by a majority vote of a committee and properly noticed shall not be canceled except by, now it'll be majority vote?
Yes.
Correct? Okay. By majority vote at a properly noticed meeting at which quorum is achieved or by written email consent of the majority of the committee's members. Written email consent shall be sent to the entire committee.
Okay, so that's the main motion. Is there any objection to that as amended? Okay, hearing none, it's approved. I'll make that in the next report of the governance committee to the PMB and ask them to make that directive to all the committees. Okay, the next item on the agenda, Bill, I believe, is your proposed bylaws amendment. Reduce the size of our LSP and delegate assemblies to 16.
Right, and I sent this out this morning, 10:45 Central Time. You want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay, some people may have seen an earlier version of some of these because I sent some discussion on a few of them earlier. This is a proposed Amendment 1. Reduce the size of our LSBs and delegate assemblies to 16, focuses a reduction of one-third. And I might note that I don't have the exact text for the amendment, but this is what it would do. Essentially, we could do this while keeping the proportions of staff versus listener reps the same by electing 6 listener reps and 2 staff reps in each delegate election instead of 9 listeners and 3 staff. Assuming we allowed current people to continue in their terms, which would make it easier to get approval of the amendment, it would reduce the size of the LSBs from 24 to 20 following the delegate election this year, and then to 16 following the delegate election next year. Rationale, I assume this is obvious, but it should make our LSB meetings function better, as large boards are very unwieldy, and this would be closer to best practices for nonprofit boards, which generally recommend a board size of 8 to 15. It would also make it less critical to recruit such a large number of candidates in each delegate election and reduce the costs a little for our LSBs. And then another note, to avoid confusing candidates in this year's delegate elections, we should tell them there's a proposed amendment that would decrease the number of seats being elected by one-third. Since this might not get approved or until after the delegate recruitment process is underway.
I'm sorry.
Hey, anyone wish to speak to it?
I have a question.
Anything else you wanted to say to motivate it?
No, look, I'll take comments and questions. I'll be glad to.
Okay.
I don't want to say for now.
Anyone want to speak to this?
Well, this is Lydia.
Ken to the stack, too.
Yeah, I had read your the original proposal. I didn't, or maybe I didn't read it thoroughly. I didn't realize you intend for this to be effective for this election.
If we can get it approved before the election's going on, if it was approved, say, after the, or say during the candidate recruitment portion, I don't think there'd be a problem. I think it wouldn't be fair to implement it if this wasn't approved until after the election was certified, though. But we could put a time limit in there if you want.
Okay. So my comment is on so many levels, absolutely not for this election. I think you're just inviting all kinds of challenges to it because of notice and so forth. The election timeline has already been put up. Everyone has copies of the bylaws. They already are presuming that it's going to go according to the bylaws. I personally, even though I support the reduction in board size, both local and national, I can tell you for those people I've asked at the LSB level here, you know, my side of the aisle, as it were, which is half, they would not support it. So in terms of reducing the LSB size, also, I think that you can still make an argument. I know that you can play with words within the bylaws. I've reread that section. I still think that members can make an argument that this affects them and adversely, and because they have less seats that they can run for, and therefore you would have to get a membership vote. And I don't think you can couple that with an election mailing, but nevertheless. So I personally have always gone by the notion that we could do this in 2014 when there's no election and it doesn't affect any election that year. It can be done in a timely fashion, and we can build support for this amendment and the next amendment. The next one I really feel absolutely would need, ironically, the PMB would need a member vote, because you're reducing the size of one class versus not reducing the classes, but you are the other one. So,
did you want to make an amendment, Lydia, or should we just continue?
I don't think that these are viable. I don't have any objection to the wording of the amendments. I just do not believe that they are viable to be passed. I think it's completely irrational to try to pass it once the elections have already been announced for this year. And although it could be done for next year, I still think that the best thing would be to take this on in 2014 when you don't have elections and you can involve the entire network and everyone gets consensus and we move forward with something with a membership ballot.
Anyone else want to speak to this?
I can. I asked to be on the stack.
I'm sorry. You're on the agenda. Okay. Okay.
All right. Well, I didn't understand Lydia's objection because she said that she's opposed to the amendment. So I think she would continue to be opposed in 2014. The same
no,
issues
I
about.
No, I did not say that.
Please, Lydia. Please, let's just
Lydia,
use
Lydia.
That.
I'll get Lydia. Let Ken finish his. What he has to say.
Let's just use the stack. It's okay. We've got lots of time here. So I didn't understand that, but the same questions about whether or not it has an impact on the class of listener sponsors and has to be approved by the full membership of the foundation would stand in 2014, whether or not there's an election that year. However, my confusion about this is I think Bill's main point is correct. I've seen this in other organizations where it's set up for governance that no longer relates to the actual size of the body being governed. Our listener members are decreasing, and we still have the same governance board. That means it's fatter. It's requiring more support because we have too much governance for the service we're delivering. But what I really don't understand is I think his third amendment about eliminating the special class of staff members with special privilege as opposed to all listener sponsors or all members, because a staff member is a member. He gets a membership. So a staff member can run for the board.
Ken, I'll let you finish what you're saying, but we're just doing one at a time.
But I don't, okay, my statement is I don't understand why we wouldn't take that third amendment first, because that would have the most consequence into, in other words, for decreasing the number of overall board members. I would think that third amendment would be of priority first to say let's eliminate the special voting class or representation class of staff. I would think we would address that first, and if that amendment passes, then there's a subsequent amendment on decreasing staff. I don't understand. I'm just confused. So it's a question, how they relate to each other.
Was it a point of information?
Yeah, just to clarify, the third proposed amendment was to eliminate paid staff, not staff, just paid staff. But and each of these three amendments are independent of each other.
Okay, well, that isn't really a point of information, but it's a point of clarification anyway. Anybody else want to speak to this?
Bob.
Amendment one. Bob, yeah, sorry, you're on the stack, yeah.
Sasha.
And Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bob.
Okay, well, I think that the bylaws section about how amendments are to be made pretty much rules out adopting this without the membership voting. I'll just read a little excerpt from Article 17, Section 1. It says, the members shall vote on any proposed amendment approved by the board and the delegates if said amendment would do any of the following, and the fifth item is materially and adversely affect a member's rights as to voting or transfer. So I think it's really clear this materially affects a member's rights because as to voting, because the smaller a board, the lesser the chance that any member under single transferable voting, the smaller the chance that any member will have an opportunity to have their opinions and, you know, someone who shares their views represented on the board because there are fewer seats. Which could be won by such a person. So I think it would be a real travesty to try to push this through without observing this part of the bylaws. So that in and of itself would rule out doing it this year or, you know, rule out doing it in some way that would say, oh, well, those of you who just got elected, actually, you know, you're not all elected. Only some of you are elected because we, you know, passed this new motion. So that's number one. And number two is that this is a really fundamental change in the whole approach to governance of Pacifica, so it really needs to be thoroughly discussed by all five LSBs and, you know, with adequate time, and it's absolutely not something that should be rushed through.
That's it. Point of information?
Our fault for a sec.
Is that John Wenger? Yes, John.
Yeah, I don't understand why... Well, Lydia asserted it couldn't be done, but I don't understand why it couldn't be done, namely that during an election for LSB candidates, that there be essentially what we call in California...
A comment. I'm going to put you on the stack after Sasha.
Okay.
Hey, Sasha.
This is Sasha. I'm going to pick up sort of where Bob left off because that was the main point I want to make about this, is that I really don't understand why something that would be this large a change would be something that that anybody would want to rush through, that we would just receive this and it be discussed and potentially voted on again in 24 hours. It's a major change. And I think for the points that Lydia made about potential for people protesting and lawsuits and so forth certainly are there. And it would seem to me that we would want to give, this would be something that would be discussed throughout the system, that would be given consideration and thought in terms of the ramifications, and not be something that would be swiftly pushed through. I don't really care to get into your debate about whether it has to come up to a membership vote or not. I think it does, but I'm just talking about in terms of the effect on people and dividing people and having people really angry. And when it comes to, you know, I thought the PMB just this year passed something increasing the size of committees, and I'm not too sure what the thinking is here, if one thinks committees should be very, very large, but the actual bodies themselves should be smaller than the committees are supposed to be. It makes no sense to me. I don't know what the thinking is that doesn't hang together well. The other thing is in terms of eliminating the class of paid workers from being able to be in a position to make decisions, why on earth would you want to do that?
Can we leave that question to when we get to it?
Okay, fine. But you know, this is really opening up a very nasty argument, and you want to ram it through in 24 hours?
Let me say something about the process here.
And you don't think people are going to be upset? Think again, because that's really a foolish thing to be doing in the environment in which we function, which is, you know, with a lot of contention.
Let me say something about what the process here with respect to these proposed amendments. The Governance Committee can't even propose an amendment.
No, I understand that.
Okay, so this would be, PMB members can, but the thought was that if we have the kind of discussion you're talking about in the Governance Committee, and if we can come to a consensus on things, we can perhaps move the rest of the network. So I don't see this as trying to rush anything through. I see it really as beginning the discussion. But that's how I see it. Okay, John?
Yeah, I think at KPFK, the LSV is going to want to talk about this, so I'm going to try to bring it up in our next meeting. But my question was that I think I agree with the assertion that this sort of a change is going to require a vote by the entire membership. And therefore, given that Pacifica Governance has been hurting for a long time, it would seem to me that we ought to try to accomplish it during this election. And in California, at least, we have this thing we call an initiative, and this bylaws change, if it were proposed by, if the boards discussed it and thought it was a good idea, and it looked like the PNB, you know, was going to pass it, and at least three LSVs would pass it, then we could pass this thing, and then it would go to, as an initiative, to the entire electorate. And they would vote on it, and that would just change the structure of the elections. And people get that. We have it all the time in California with dueling initiatives. So I don't believe it's a big challenge, at least not to the California stations, because we've all seen it. So that's my point.
Okay. Our Paul?
Hey, George, add me to the stack, please. Joseph K., add me to the stack.
Okay. Our Paul and Joseph.
Okay. First of all, this would obviously be Section 17B3 thing. It would absolutely trigger that. And whether Pacifica did that or not, I think this amendment, if the PNB were to pass it, would trigger a whole bunch of lawsuits. And Pacifica simply can't afford those lawsuits. We can't afford the lawsuits we currently have. So it would cost a pile of money. And on the other hand, I think people are looking at the wrong end of the telescope here. There are problems in Pacifica, and there's even a whole bunch of difficulty with the governance, but I don't think it rests in the size of the governing body. Pacifica has a whole bunch of different problems regarding governance. Not something you could just name one reason for, like it's too big. There are other reasons why the governance is having problems. And Pacifica has bigger problems than its somewhat failed but somewhat functioning governance. Pacifica has a problem with, its air in general, not attracting enough people. And that's the thing to look at. Anyway, I'm done.
Joseph?
Oh, okay, thank you. In somewhat agreement with the previous speaker, the relative risks of addressing this question and bringing to discussion so that in the process of that discussion, by the virtue of the government committee taking it as an initiative to be brought to the PNB, to be then openly discussed in view of what I think has only been somewhat mildly addressed, which is the disconcerted state of the audience listenership about the failings, as they perceive it, of the Pacifica National Board and the local LSBs to come together in some unified fashion to do things that are positively geared to promote the listenership and their interests, which has led to so many people feeling that there's nothing that is done very well by the Pacifica National Board except to delay everything ad infinitum. And in that regard, having this brought out in an open discussion forum, yes, there's always going to be lawsuits, and everybody always raises the specter of disaster because of the disgruntled. But don't forget that most of the disgruntled may not be of that ilk that chooses to become righteous victims and attack the very organization that's in such a harmful way that it could bring it to its knees. That kind of loyalty is not very insincere. It's sincere to me. And I'm in favor of bringing this thing, whole matter, out into the open. We've been pussyfooting around too long about this. Bring things to the membership. Let them decide. Don't get decisive in advance in the idea that you're protecting the station and all the upset listeners. They're already upset. Thank you.
Does anyone else want to speak to this?
Bill, I'd like to speak again at the end.
Yeah, go ahead.
And Lydia also.
Let me let Lydia go first if she wants.
Well, I would like to have the motions that everyone is speaking about. I saw the one that George put out, I thought, but it didn't include the wording about this year's elections, for one thing. But anyway, in terms of like this year's election, I think it would immediately invite an injunction, which is a lawsuit, but, I want to clarify, since Ken raised it, whether I'm in opposition to reducing the boards. I have stated publicly on many occasions, I plan to stand by that I am in favor of reducing the board size. I have not come up with a are structured. It's not like, and that's what invites that one section where you cannot treat one class unequally as compared to the other one. So for the second motion that's coming up, but I guess we're not discussing that, that's what that does. And there's no way that I think you can possibly say that you can reduce paid staff versus unpaid staff. How do you even divide a class? I mean, then you're just begging for a challenge. But getting back to the original theme is, number one, even if we weren't bylaws mandated to do so, which I feel strongly that we are, that we should be consulting the members. They're the ones who are keeping all of this going. And even the ones that don't run aren't that interested in governance. Like I know my employer, who has, been a supporter for decades, and he's just really impressed with any organization that has elections, actually more so than I am because I'm sitting on the board. I actually think we could benefit from smaller boards. That is why I have supported the smaller boards. I do not support doing so without a petition as defined in the bylaws for doing so. Changing the bylaws by the PMB in terms of its composition and so forth in a vacuum was what led to those early suits in 1999. So do not fool yourself that there won't be some challenges to this. That's what started the whole ball rolling. So I urge you, and we should be able to do it. Certainly not this year at all. I mean, that's out of the question. If we wanted to do it next year, we could certainly talk about it. I still think 2014 is the best. You can have network-wide discussions about it and so forth and come up with a really good formula. This one is dicey.
So, point of information?
Yes?
Did the earlier attempts to change the bylaws ask the to take it to a referendum to the listeners? I think they did not. If they did, then there's really a problem. But if they did not, then it's a non-problem.
What are you talking? You mean the lawsuits of 99? That was the PMB trying to do it on their own.
Yeah, and they didn't ask the listeners to ratify it as a referendum. If we do it as a referendum, it's a non-problem.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. I don't oppose the amendments. What I oppose is the fact that you would try to do this without the membership voting for it.
Okay, Bill.
Okay, sorry, I was muted. Okay, first, I want to encourage everybody to read the sectional bylaws that Bob referenced. It's on Article 17, which is about amendments. Section 1, under that, subsection B, voting and approval. And then under that, item 3, and it lists the things where members should vote on any proposed amendment. I really don't see how this falls under any of those. I mean, Bob mentioned if it would materially and adversely affect a member's rights as to voting or transfer, that's one of the provisions in that section of the bylaws. I think that means if you were going to remove somebody's right to vote on something, for example, we're not removing anybody's right by any of those amendments to vote. It's just we're on the proposed amendment 1, we're just talking about how many people will be elected. But I must say, if the majority of the board feels it should go to the membership, then it should go to the membership this year. It definitely should not go in 2014, for example, when we do not already have a delegate election. That's way too expensive. It's very expensive to have an election for the membership. This would probably not cost any significant amount more if it was included in the current delegate elections. I really don't think it's needed. But just to get back to this one amendment, you know, the basic idea is reduce the size of the boards. Everybody I've talked to seems to feel that our boards are too big, they're too unwieldy, both the local boards and the national boards. Other nonprofit boards generally have like 8 to 12, sometimes 15. But this is already kind of pushing that. I just think it would make it more efficient and easier to get things done. And this wouldn't have changed the way the people are elected. As Amendment 1 I'm talking about, the proportions would still be the same between staff and listeners. And it would just gradually reduce the size by allowing everybody that currently holds a seat to continue in their term, but then we would not elect as many people both in this election and next year. We wouldn't elect as many new people. And also, I think what Sasha was talking about, as George clarified, there's no way anything like this happens in 24 hours. It takes 2 months. After the PMB decides to notice these will be voted on, there's a mandatory 2-month notice period where all the LSPs, anybody in Pacifica, can look at them, comment on them, lobby your LSB, whatever, or the PNB members, then the PNB has to vote on it, and then all the delegate assemblies have to vote on it. So there's no way this is going to get rushed through. If it doesn't go to the membership, I think it would be good if this was done and completed before the final portion of the elections this year, which is like before October or something like that. I think that's quite easy. It would be easy to accomplish. But mostly, I just want to, and I don't have the exact text for an amendment yet. I wanted to get find out what everybody wants. What do you think would be feasible and not? And then we can work on some exact language.
Bill, do you want to postpone consideration of this for another till the next meeting to give you time to get a precise wording, or what would you like to do with this?
No, that would be okay. Yeah, and I'm talking about just this first amendment right now. I'd still have to discuss the others, but yeah,
and
it's okay
Bill,
to postpone.
Carolyn, have you sent out because I don't have it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I sent it out this morning. I'll resend it to the list.
Carolyn.
Do we still have a stack, or are we moving to postpone?
No, we still have a stack. Bill has suggested postponing it, or I've asked him if he wanted to, and he said yes. So I guess we have a motion to postpone on the table. Did you want to speak to that, or did you want to speak to the original motion itself?
Well, both, I guess. I don't think we need to postpone because I think that the sense that the discussion on this will take a long time is absolutely correct. I'm not so sure. I think I disagree that this will materially affect voters' rights. I think essentially it will improve them, as someone has pointed out, by making the board a little bit more agile. So I think that's exactly the sort of question we need to discuss. If we need a legal opinion before we get started, that would be too bad, but it might be worth running that, through a legal mill as well. But I do think the discussion is definitely worth having. I'm going to mute myself for the street noise here. It's very bad. Excuse that, please.
Sean, into the queue.
Carolyn, are you suggesting that we do get a legal opinion?
Sean, into the queue.
You're next, John, but I wanted to find out from Carolyn if I understood what she was saying.
Yeah, she muted herself because of road noise. It was a siren going by. I expect she'll unmute in a moment when the siren...
Go ahead, John. I'll get back to Carolyn in a minute.
Yeah, with regard to whether or not a referendum to the voters is required or not, that's a fancy, complicated legal issue, and if anybody disagrees, they'll take us to court. With the issue of litigation avoidance, I strongly recommend that we put the referendum into our motion here just to eliminate this whole possibility of complexity. And the second thing is that philosophically, I'm a believer in democracy. I'm a believer in that the listeners are sovereign in this case, and that we should do everything possible to honor them. And the appropriate thing from that philosophical point of view is to give them a referendum on the thing, so we're not trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. So those are my two points.
Okay. Carolyn, are you back?
Okay. Yes, I'm so sorry. I cut myself off by mistake. Did you ask a question that I missed?
Yeah. Did you want to suggest that we should go and get a legal opinion as to the John's comment is essentially whatever the legal opinion is, we might want to send it to referendum. But were you suggesting that we should get a legal opinion on this?
Well, at some point, I think we'll need to know. Referendums are terribly expensive. And if most of the membership agrees with Bill's point, which I think they might, perhaps it would just be unnecessary unless we were told we had to do it. I think that will be a point of contention. People who don't want it will use a referendum to scare us away from it. People who do want it, so maybe a legal opinion, if such as possible, without final language, that's another issue. Might be interesting, maybe from more than one person, maybe from the FCC as well as someone else in media law. I don't know if it's worth the money right now, but I do think we should not postpone discussion of it beyond a very brief time and put it out there for discussion. It's something long overdue, and thank you, Bill, for bringing it up.
Okay, we have a motion to postpone.
Ten to the stack.
Consideration of amendment on the floor.
Yeah, I just called the question on the motion on the floor to postpone.
You can't call a question in a committee, but is there any objection?
I'm not supposed to, but I did.
I know you did. I know you know. Is there any objection to postponing consideration of this?
Yes.
Joseph, you object to postponing consideration of this?
Yes, I do.
You want to say what your objection is?
My objection is that the time has come to take a position on something that's important in addressing the problems of LSP and put it to the voters by referendum and include that language in the proposed amendment.
Who's doing that?
Point of observation. This only happens when Joe speaks.
Yeah, that's true. What is the problem?
Happened when I spoke.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Okay, so Joseph, you object. Are you willing to see anyone else who objects? If there's not, perhaps we could avoid a vote on this.
Well, this is Bill. Could I clarify something?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't even have the text yet for the exact amendment, so it's not like we're voting on a proposed amendment. I'm just bringing this up for discussion. So it seems obvious to me that we should postpone it, at least till we have, till I or somebody wants to help me, can write out some text, and we can get a legal opinion first also, if needed. So I don't think we have anything we can really vote on right now, in other words.
I do.
So, okay. Is there any other objection to postponing? There is none. Joseph, would you be willing to stand aside so I don't have to take a vote on this? Joseph?
Yeah, I'm pausing to meditate on it.
Okay, thank you.
Would I be able to? Never mind. I guess I'd like to add something to this proposed amendment that's being delayed, if it does get to that. But of course,
it's going to come back up again at the next meeting.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I'll stand aside, but in the hopes and in the request that all the work gets done to get it properly presented to this committee, and not present drafts that are not ready. Thank you.
Okay. It's 10:28 on the Eastern Seaboard, which is time to adjourn. At this point, calls for action items, which is a recap of what people have promised to do. We had a motion, and I promised to get the minutes out by 7 days in advance of the next meeting. There were a bunch of changes to the way the list function that Bill promised to talk to Otis about. Is there any other action item that I will, of course, bring the motion that we passed on suspending, on canceling a meeting, a committee meeting that had been scheduled to the PNB? Is there anything else that needs to be acted on between now and the next meeting? Okay, hearing none, unless I hear a motion to suspend the orders of the day, the meeting is adjourned.
This is Kent. Wait, Kent. This is Kent. I'll admit that I fell asleep. What was the decision about? We're adjourned. Okay. Skip it.
No, Ken, what's your question?
What was the decision about calling an LSB meeting? Was that part of an action item?
Yeah, we approved that. With a majority, it requires a majority to cancel a meeting which was already established, requires a majority vote either on email or at another meeting to cancel that meeting.
No, I understand that. I'm saying the motion before the item on the agenda before that about calling, who can call an LSB meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Require an action item.
Yes, yes. We also decided to ask the PNB, thank you, to remind people that individuals cannot call a meeting of the OSB, whether they're offices or not.
Outside of what's prescribed in the bylaws.
Outside of what's, yes, requires unanimous consent of all the offices. That's what it says.
And that's, isn't that superseded? I mean, but does that curtail privileges of the chair that exist in Robert's rules?
It's a good question, which we didn't raise, but the bylaws would
trump
Robert's rules anyway.
Okay. All right. Good enough. So that's another action item.
Yep. Anything else left out? Okay. Good. Meeting adjourned. Thank you all for a good meeting.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.